scoot in because we've been setting up extra chairs and we're getting ready for Easter. And we're going to have one gigantic Easter service. We're going to have overflow on the patio. And what I'm going to ask you members to do, not the visitors, not the folks who are just kind of checking us out here, seeing if we have a pulse and all that. I'm going to ask our members, as it fills up in here, to go to the overflow area. We're also going to have the children's ministries meet in their classes right from the beginning. So that'll free up maybe 10, 15 seats, maybe 20 seats right from the get-go. So kind of be mindful of that. It looks like maybe we're okay today, but when we start crowding in a little bit, I'm going to say over the next couple of weeks, could you please leave seats on the aisle and please do that. We appreciate it. If you're at home on Facebook or YouTube, either one, please scoot over to your left. Leave seats on the right of where you are. Now, I want to welcome everybody. Thank you so much for being here. Jehovah Rapha is the name of the name of God we're going to talk about today. It is time change day, so if you didn't change your clocks, you're in trouble. Yeah, Bill, you were in trouble. But glad to see everyone here. Financial Peace University begins tomorrow night. Would you come, John, and take this microphone and share what that it means and what it's about?
How many of you are sleepy? Yeah. Time change, I hate it. But anyway, Financial Peace starts tomorrow night, and we're asking, we have a minimum number that we need, so we hope that you can make it. There's going to be a clipboard going around somewhere. There it is. Okay, he'll start that as soon as we get going here. They've been saying, the announcements have been saying, if you're in debt, come to Financial Peace University. It's a lot more than that. It is a way to balance your life and get in control of your money. I'm reminded of the verse that says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. I think we could probably say worry of money is the root of all kinds of evil as well, looking at other scriptures. And so if you're worrying about money, if you're not so great with money, even if you aren't in debt, Financial Peace can help you get things straightened out. And it's a great opportunity. We're going to lower the rate to $100. So give us $100 to start the class. And after 9 weeks, if you're there for 9 weeks, you get your $100 back, okay? So that's a good one. There's a number of couples that have done it and gotten out of debt and controlled their finances because of the class. I'm not going to say any names. I don't know how we can put you two together, all of you together. But anyway, that there are some great success stories. I encourage you to do it. Please sign up if you're interested. Starts tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.
Thank you, John. It talks about, the best thing it talks about planning for the future, taking care of children's college expenses, all kinds of different things.
And I was supposed to say, young military guys, great opportunity.
Oh, what about young military gals?
Gals, too.
That, too. Okay. Equal opportunity, whatever. All right, so the green clipboard's going around. And once it gets to the end back here, if you'd take it over to the other side so it can come forward. And then this one is for a new members class. If we could turn it down a little bit. Grant, I'm getting a little echo. This is for a new members class. I'm going to start it here. It is next week. It's right after the service. And if you're thinking about becoming a member or you want to know what we're all about, you don't have to become a member once you come to the class. If you decide, nah, it's not for me, then it's okay. It's between you and the Lord. But if you can be here, the reason we're having you sign up is we need to know ahead of time how many to prepare for. We'll have a free lunch for you. And we have childcare provided, so we should be through by about 1:30 or so. So I hope you'll come and be part of that. Sign up if you're interested at all. Check out the bulletin for several Bible studies held throughout the weekend, throughout the week. And military, okay, guys, help me. I know Ryan's out of town, but for the military lunch today, tell me. Next door, right after church. Ryan's not home, but they're going to crash the pad and see what they can find. Peanut butter sandwiches and for everybody. Okay, so all the military invited to a free lunch over there, too. Then next Sunday, Jehovah Nisi, new members class, and last appeal for the Basque students. If you're interested in hosting a student from the Basque region of Spain, from June the 28th to July the 27th for 1 month, then please let us know. We'll put you in contact with who you need to talk to. Now, this is a connection card. If you are a first-time guest or if you have a special prayer request or some other kind of need that we can help you with, you want to ask questions, whatever it is, that's what this card's for. It's in the seat back in front of you. If you are visiting, we'd love to have a record of your visit with us, so I hope you'll take a moment and fill it out. Then here's what to do with it. Once you get through, is in the back to the left of the double doors, there's a offering box for our members who are able to put in their tithes and offerings, but then as a guest, just turn in the connection card. Now, I see that pink clipboard, and it's going back. It's kind of bouncing back and forth. So it started down here. Once it gets to the end over there, bring the pink one on around and the green one on around this way. Got it? All right. Good deal. Thank you. Let me share this with you, my bulletin article. I want to thank you, everyone, for your generosity in responding to the urgent need of the Ukrainians who have lost so much in such a short period of time. The stories of indiscriminate bombing of the civilian population are abhorrent. The loss of innocent life is terrible. And I wrote this article on Monday, and it said, soon more than 1 million souls will be displaced. That's actually up closer to 3 million now. So that's how quickly all of this is developing. 3 million souls displaced. That'll be the largest number of refugees by far since World War II. Last Sunday, we received a spontaneous offering on behalf of those in need. You responded with $2,228. We immediately the next day sent $1,500 to Samaritan's Purse. They already have feet on ground, boots on the ground, rather. And then that's a charity run by Billy Graham Association, helps in virtually all disasters, man-made or otherwise. The balance of the offering, $728, was sent to one of our missionaries in Romania. His name is Sever Gonchalia, who is taking in Ukrainian refugees by the dozens because of the proximity, his proximity to the Ukrainian border. We've had others say they're going to give as well. As funds come in, and you can take one of those offering envelopes in the seat backs in front of you, you can put Ukraine on there, and then anything that comes in, we will send. And we already have a couple of other ministries that are helping, that we will send it as soon as possible. The need is immediate, of course. And so if you want to have a part, make your check out to First Baptist Church. 100% of what we get marked for Ukraine will go to that humanitarian effort. Whether you give money or not, please be sure to pray, especially for the Ukrainian Christians. They're suffering a lot of this. In addition, pray for the young, innocent Russian soldiers who have been told that they're crushing a Nazi regime that is oppressing Russian citizens within the Ukraine. They're finding out this is a lie that's being spread by the Russian leadership. Pray that God restrains evil and that war is stopped. And again, thank you who participated so far. If you want to do so, I encourage you to do so. Let's go ahead and stand as we continue to worship the Lord in song this morning.
Here in the conflict, when doubts arise.
With me, please. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful and thankful for each one up here leading us in worship, and thank you for their efforts in helping us to send praises to your name, your glorious name, your amazing name, your miracle-working name. Lord, thank you for being a God worthy of our praise, worthy of all praise and honor and glory. Lord, we lift up praise to you because you are worthy, because you are everything that's important, because you are so good to us. Father, I pray for Billy Falling, who would love to be here today, maybe watching on YouTube or Facebook right now. Lord, you know that the doctors have said it's stage four, and you know, too, that you're able, that with you all things are possible. And Billy's looking for a healing from you. So as we preach on God the healer, may today your Holy Spirit work in his life physically. And if it be your perfect will, would you heal them of that cancer? Father, others in this auditorium perhaps in need today, Lord, different needs, maybe physical, maybe other than that, minister to us, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and be seated. And moms and dads and uncles and grandmas and granddads and aunts and everybody else here, if you have your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 15 for the message. Exodus chapter 15. And while you're doing that, I'm going to ask the boys and girls who would like to come right down here and stand right in the front before you go to class. We've got a little something I want to share with you that's very, very important. So right here in the front, all right, in the 17th chapter of Luke. How many know that Luke's in the Bible? Okay, Luke is in the Bible. In the 17th chapter, there were 10 men, that many, 10 men who came to Jesus who had leprosy. Does anybody know what leprosy is? What is it? It's a skin disease, kind of like cancer. Yeah, it's very good, and it kind of eats up. And there was nothing back in Jesus' day to be able to get rid of the leprosy. So if someone had leprosy, they had it until they died, and it was a very, very sad thing to have. And so one day, there were 10 men walking by, and Jesus was there, and Jesus healed all 10 of them. All of a sudden, their skin was just like a brand new little, we got a little baby back here somewhere, like a brand new little baby's skin without any blemish at all. They were just perfect. And so they got so excited, they went running off to tell their family, went running off to tell their friends. Jesus told them to go tell the priest because that's what they were supposed to do. But what happened was one of them said, wait a minute, I need to come back and thank Jesus for what he did. And so he came back and thanked Jesus. The other nine never came back. Boys and girls, when God does something for us, like even though there's war in the world, there's not war right here, we need to thank him that we're not in wartime right now. We need to thank him that you're able to be here and you're healthy. We need to thank him that we have a church to go to, and we need to thank him that Jesus loves us so much that he died on the cross for our sins. So let's thank him right now. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for being our God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for all the good things you do for us, Lord. You're an amazing God, and we pray that we'd always be grateful, always be thankful, and always let you know that in Jesus' name. And all the boys and girls said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You're so good today. Go back to your classes now. And teachers, you do a good job. Teach these young ladies and young men how to live for God in this world. Today, we look at a hyphenated name of God. Elohim was like one name. Jehovah was one name. Adonai was one name. But now we're going to look at a hyphenated name, and that hyphenated name is using Jehovah as the root. And so it's Jehovah Rapha, which ought to be near and dear to the hearts of all of us because it means God heals. God heals. God can heal from cancer. God can heal from COVID. God can heal from the chicken pox. God can heal everything, anything. God is able. So who of us have never prayed to God for healing? I would venture to say everyone here at one time or another has prayed, God, please heal me, whether it's a sore throat, a cold, or whether it's something extremely serious. Or maybe you've prayed not for yourself, but for a loved one. Or in some cases, with the internet these days, I'm sure you've done what I do. You pray for complete strangers, people who request prayer. You don't even know who they are. Maybe they're friends of friends that you have or friends of family that you have. And so you pray for a stranger's complete healing. I mentioned a week or so ago that hyphenated names of God are often based on events to be commemorated. For example, we spoke on Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. We talked how that Abraham was commanded, Abram at that time, commanded to take his son Isaac to Mount Moriah to offer him as a sacrifice, incomprehensible, inconceivable thing to have to do, and how that God provided a sacrifice just at the right time, stayed the hand of Abram when he had the knife raised up, and then they offered the ram instead of his son, and Jehovah Jireh meant God provides. God provided that ram. And so this whole idea of Jehovah Jireh or Jehovah Jireh, depending on what Bible you have, embodies the whole idea of the type of Christ. The Father sent his only son. Isaac sent his only legitimate son. The son was obedient to the point of death. The ram became a substitute as Christ was a substitute. The son, Isaac, carried the wood on his shoulders. Jesus carried the top beam of the cross on his shoulders. They went to Mount Moriah, the place to offer the sacrifice God told them of. And Jesus was crucified on later on what would be Mount Moriah outside the gates of Jerusalem. So there appears to be a pattern in the revealing of the names of God starting in Genesis with Elohim, the fourth word in the entire Old Testament. The law of first mention applies. It's the first name of God given, and that means he was omnipotent God, the God of creation, able to do whatever. Then Jehovah was revealed to them, and that was the covenant relational name of God to his people, the self-existent one who chooses to have fellowship with us. And then there's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord shall provide, showing God is the one who supplies all of our needs. And then Adonai last week, showing that God is our owner, our master, our Lord of all. Remember, Adonai was a plural possessive. Lords, L-O-R-D-S apostrophe. So we belong to him. We don't belong to ourselves as children of God. So the names of God correlate with specific references to God and sometimes with his humanity. He first created mankind, then he initiated a covenant with them, then he supplied their needs in the person of in the instance of Abram, and then he reminds them all and us all that he is master and God of all. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I know you're in You're in Exodus 15. I'll be there in a moment or maybe 30 or 40 minutes. I'm not sure. In 1 Corinthians, depends on how it goes. I never know. 1 Corinthians 10, 6 and 7, after Paul relates the short history of the Israelites, he then writes some very strange words. He said, "These things happened as a warning to us so that we would not crave evil things as they did or worship idols as some of them did." And this is repeated again in verse 11 of the same chapter. So what does that have to do with the name God Heals? Or does it have anything to do? And it does. Because what happened was Israel sang a song of victory after being delivered from slavery. After they left Egypt, because of all the plagues and because of God opening up the Red Sea for them to literally go through on dry ground, they sang a song of victory and crossing that Red Sea. But in the same chapter, I mean, folks, they've just seen the miracles of God working in Egypt and all the plagues and all the utter destruction of the nation because Pharaoh wouldn't let Israel go. And they saw all of that. It didn't touch the Israelites. It devastated the Egyptians, but not the Israelites. The dense darkness, the flies, the gnats, the water turning to blood, ultimately the death of the firstborn did not happen to Israel, but it happened to Egypt while Israel was in the land. They saw all that. They went out from Egypt, and Pharaoh changed his mind once again, pursued them once again. And caused a cloud to be between them and Israel. And so they weren't able, if Egypt wasn't able to take them back and to conquer them again. Instead, Moses uses the rod and smites the waters, and they part, and they go through on, Israel does on dry ground, and then God closes the water on the Egyptian army, and they're destroyed ultimately. They saw all that. Now in the same chapter, we find cries of bitterness and discontentment. Here it is. I got there. Exodus 15. Whoa. So Moses brought, in verse 22, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, still the Arabian Peninsula, and they went 3 days into the wilderness, and they found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Still today, I did some reading, and I found out that this place is identified. It's got a different name now, but still the water is such that they don't allow their stock to water at this place. It was so bitter. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord. Now, this is capital O, L, capital O, capital R, capital D. You know what that means? That name, which name is that? Jehovah. So it says he cried unto the Lord, unto Jehovah God. Moses cried to Jehovah God, the name of God that is a relationship with human beings. And the Lord, again, Jehovah, showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. Now, an unbeliever would read that and say, that's ridiculous. That's just nuts. That doesn't happen. And I would say, you're right. It doesn't happen unless God is involved. If God wants to do something, if God wants to take a tree and make a body of water sweet, God can do it. By the way, God could do it without a tree in the wilderness if he wanted to, but because of the type that's involved in this, he used a tree. And so our God, the Elohim, omnipotent creator God, can do whatever he wants to do. Sorry about your God. Our God can do what he wants to do. So the waters were made sweet. So he made them for a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Now note carefully what follows. And said, "If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord," or hear what the Lord Jehovah says, "and thy God." Now here it's hear what Jehovah Elohim. In other words, the covenant name of God and the omnipotent God. "If you will hear the voice of Jehovah Elohim and will do that which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commands and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord Jehovah who heals Ropha, you. I am the Lord who heals you." A promise that the diseases of the Egyptians would not be upon the Israelites if they listened to the principles of God and practiced the principles of God. Wow, God's got promises about not letting people be sick of certain sicknesses contingent upon their compliance with the word of God. Remember what happened in Egypt. Again, remember the plagues. Remember Israel was freed. Remember the song of victory. And then all of a sudden, they start something that becomes a very bad habit. They start complaining and murmuring. That's why I said what I said this morning to begin with. No hospitals, maternity hospitals, were hit by missiles that I know of in our country. Thank God for that. No jets have flown over, dropping cluster bombs. No infantry has encircled any of our major cities. It's easy to complain. It's easy to get up and say, you know what? You forgot to change the coffee thing to the new time, and now it's not even made yet. Now I got to make the coffee. What the hell? It's easy to gripe about things. Oh, my goodness, I had to pay $5.69 for a gallon of gasoline. Well, I paid $5.29, so nanner, nanner, nanner on you. But you know what? I was able to. I was able to get gasoline. I was able to pay for it. I mean, it's so easy to complain. It's so easy to gripe about things that aren't exactly right, as we interpret things ought to be right. So they started this habit that followed them for a whole generation. And in fact, it's part of the reason why they died in the wilderness. Part of the reason they murmured out of bitterness and discontent. Maybe the first day everything was okay. They're singing their song. We have been delivered. We have been delivered. Pharaoh's in the river. Yay, yay, yay. You know, they're excited. Second day, they're like, I'm kind of thirsty. I need something. You got any water? No, we don't have any water. Third day, and by the way, understand this, that you can go without food. They say you can go for like 40 days without food. I think I could probably make 60 if I really tried hard. But you can't go a long time without water. You can't. You have to have it. And so the third day, they were out of water. Thirst set in. They completely forgot the miracles of Egypt. They completely forgot the divine deliverance. And at first sight, they were happy because there was a well. When they came to Marah, they said, oh, look, there's water up ahead. Yay, there's water. Let's go. And so they ran, and they began to try to taste it, and it was bitter, perhaps even semi-poisonous. I don't know exactly. I tried to look up what bitterness meant, and it said it meant bitter. So that was really helpful. I appreciate that. Folks, how many times have we been bailed out of some bitter experience because of God's goodness? How many times have we been traveling on our earthly journey and we've come to a place called Marah, and it was a bitter pill to swallow, some difficulty and some kind of unanticipated problem physically, spiritually, emotionally, family-wise, whatever, work-wise, whatever, and God bailed us out? And how many times have we forgotten his past provisions? The God who took us through them then can get us through them again. God in his mercy chose a tree. I don't know that. One of the commentators said what kind of tree it was. I don't know how he knew that, but whatever, it doesn't matter. It was the tree that he chose. And what follows is miraculous, because he threw the tree in the water, and the water was no longer bitter but sweet, and sweet enough for 1.5 million Jews and their livestock to drink it. There is a tree, by the way. There is a tree that can turn our bitter lives into something sweet, not just for now, but forever. I'll tell you about that in a second. The people's faith in Moses and God was renewed. And so that's when he says, after that, he says, if you'll listen to the voice of God, if you'll do the things I've told you to do, I will put none of these diseases upon you that I've brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord Jehovah who heals you, Rapha. The word Rapha appears some 60 to 70 times in the Old Testament. It always means to restore, to make well, to cure. Or it could mean a physician, not only in a physical sense, but in a moral and a spiritual sense. And I want you to know that the great physician is Jesus Christ. He is the great physician. He is the ultimate physician. He is the ultimate one who can cure us. And just as a new and comforting name for God came out of Abram's trying experience, here Jehovah Rapha issues from a trial upon Israel in the wilderness. And God pledged himself to always be their healer on the condition of their listening and obeying him. Now, there's so many problems that we can have by not listening to God and by not obeying Him. So many diseases we can get by not listening to and obeying the Word of God. There's so many physically compromising situations we can get in if we're not listening to and heeding the Word of God. So the next point is our need of healing. We need physical healing. I don't know anybody who's never been sick. I don't know anybody who's never been sick. The Old and New Testament are filled with examples of people who needed healing. Our hospitals and clinics all around us bear witness to this great need. As you follow the life of Jesus, there were the blind and the deaf and the halt and the mute and so many, even the dead. I'll tell you what, nobody needs healing any worse than a dead person. I mean, that's about as sick as you can get. You're dead. You're done. And yet Jesus could heal and could raise from the dead people. King Hezekiah in the Old Testament not only healed from a fatal disease, but 15 years was added to his life. The COVID pandemic has underscored the desperate need for healing from an omnipotent God. And I know there's a lot of controversy. I don't mean to be controversial, but evidently the vaccine doesn't necessarily keep anybody from getting it, and booster number one doesn't keep anybody from getting it. Booster number two doesn't keep anybody. Booster number three, evidently. Booster number four, maybe, but we don't know yet. By the way, has anybody seen Fauci lately? I saw his picture on a milk carton on the internet, so I just wondered if... Okay, I didn't mean to even say that, but anyhow... Sometimes, this is a point, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying right now. Sometimes God uses illness to get a person's attention. Not always. Not all illness is because God's trying to get our attention. Not all illness certainly is because we've done some wicked thing. We've failed God in some way. It doesn't mean that. God offered King David three different options after his sin with Bathsheba was confessed, after it was confessed. And all three of them involved pestilence or death. By the way, a couple of the horsemen in Revelation, pestilence and war. What medical doctors cannot do, God can do. But note this, it is not always God's will to heal everyone. Do you know Jesus would have never died if that were the case? Because death is the ultimate failure of life to be able to thrive and survive. So God can heal everyone. God doesn't heal anyone. I don't know why. I don't know why. I can't answer that. My finite mind cannot grasp the infinite reasons. And nor is it always God's judgment when he does not heal someone at all. Not at all. Even more necessary than physical healing, in fact, is spiritual healing. In Isaiah 1, 5 and 6, why should you be stricken anymore, the prophet says. You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, like those lepers that Jesus ran into, they have not been closed. Neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Jeremiah said it a little bit different way, didn't he? In Jeremiah 17, 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I can't trust my own motives. A lot of times, I can't. I think I have this natural ability to rationalize whatever I want to rationalize. And it's not a good thing. Our sinfulness is like the waters at Marah. Instead of sweetness in our life, there's bitterness and death. The waters look fine to the casual observer when they first went over the hill or whatever and saw the body of water. Water. And then they tried to take a drink. And that's what sometimes our lives look okay, but they're not really. There's bitterness. There's malcontentment. But I thank God there's a tree nearby each one of us. It's a special tree, and it was called a cross. And it provides spiritual healing in abundance. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. How was that happen? How did Christ, the Son of Almighty God, become a curse for us? It is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He hung upon that tree. That tree was the cross of Calvary. And that bitterness that's in our hearts, and that bitterness that's in our lives, and that moral and spiritual sickness that is there that can't be alleviated by any other thing, can be alleviated by the sweetness of the cross of Jesus Christ, only because upon that cross, Jesus shed his blood and died for us. So Jehovah's the healer of the Old Testament. The need for healing, as we mentioned, is universal and great. Jehovah is the healer. He can heal physically. He can heal spiritually. He can heal morally. And Jehovah first reveals himself as the one who is relational with mankind. And so it's Jehovah. It's not Elohim Rapha. It's Jehovah Rapha, because it's the one who interacts with his creation, his created being, and he is righteous and he is holy and he loves us and he makes us accountable for moral and spiritual qualities since we're created in his image. We mentioned a couple weeks ago that judgment came from the fall of mankind, but redemption followed in the name of Jehovah Jireh. He provides. So too, it's Jehovah who heals, Jehovah Rapha. Mara, to back up just for a moment, stands for the bitter experiences and disappointments of the life of God's children. Do you have any disappointments in your life? Anybody here have any disappointments? Five of us? The rest of you are asleep. That's what it is. You turn the air on, get a little chilly in here. Who doesn't have the speed bumps of life? You ever been driving along and all of a sudden there was a speed bump you didn't know was there? Does that get your attention? Huh? Yeah, you boom, boom. Unplanned tragedies, betrayals, loss of income, loss of family, loss of friends, catastrophic illness, even death, severe trials, severe testings. We all have those kind of events because we're in a broken world. Have you noticed? This world is broken. I mean, tornadoes, hurricanes, floods. I mean, the world itself is broken, and human beings are broken. And just as Israel was delivered from a pursuing enemy, so we who are redeemed have been snatched from the grasp of the evil one. However, I got to tell you, Mara lies ahead. I wish this weren't so, but there are more bitter experiences in store for all of us if we live long enough. It just happens. Part of life. And I'm sad to say there have been far too many times when those things have happened that I have murmured and complained, totally forgetting all the good that Jehovah Rapha and Jehovah God has done for me. But then again, there's that tree who can make the bitter sweet again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that's within me, bless your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases. Who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. Psalm 103. Many of the references in the Old Testament to sickness and wounds are figurative of moral or spiritual failure. And Jehovah Rapha can heal those too. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Return, you backsliding children, I will heal your backslidings. The Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Healing is near. Healing is available. The only obstacle is sinful man, our very hearts. Jesus said, you would not come unto me that you might have life, which leads us to the last point of the message today, and that is Jesus is the healer of the New Testament. Jehovah Rapha in the Old Testament is Jesus, Jehovah's salvation in the New Testament, and it is Jesus who heals us. In fact, he begins his ministry in Luke chapter 4. I won't read it again, but he's quoting from Isaiah 61 that I read just a moment ago. So the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Because he anointed him, Jesus, to preach the gospel to the poor. And he sent him to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty all those who are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Three or four years ago now. Time goes so fast, I don't know. Maybe it's 4 or 5 years ago. I preached a series here on the healing, on the miracles of Jesus. And many of those miracles had to do with physical healing. But I got to tell you something. Jesus' mission was not just to heal people of physical diseases. It was to heal us of our spiritual diseases that could kill us eternally. A physical disease can only take our lives physically. But spiritual disease can take our lives for eternity if we don't have them healed by Jesus. So the bitter waters of Moriah were made sweet by the Jehovah provided, by the tree Jehovah divided, and the bitterness of our lives can be healed by the one who died on that tree outside the gates of Jerusalem. He is the source of the living waters. And he says, if you believe on me, out of my belly shall flow living waters. To modify a well-known proverb, you can lead a sinner to living water, but you can't make them drink. You can lead a sinner to living water, but you can't make him drink. God doesn't twist anybody's arm. He's not gonna beat you over the head with something. The whole idea of the Quran, you know, the Quran or the sword, you got to convert it, we're going to kill you. That's not the commission of the Christian. The commission of the Christian is going to preach the gospel to every creature, to allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction. So as we preach the word of God, it's the Holy Spirit that has to bring conviction. I can't convict you of anything. But if you come to him and receive him, he will receive you. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you o'er evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. I sing that in my head. I'm going, power, wonder-working power. How many of you used to do that? You just put in like 4 powers. Then you put in 8 powers. Power. There is power in the blood of the Lamb of God. Jesus can heal you of your sin sickness today. He can heal you if you have never been saved. He can save you today. If you're a Christian, but you are kind of wandering straight off a little bit like a lamb that's gone off by itself in danger, he can bring you back. He can heal those that are backslidden as well. What is your need? Jehovah Rapha can meet it. Please bow your heads. Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. He is strong to save. How many of you would say, preacher, I've received this Savior. I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I'm trusting him for everlasting life. And I know that if something happens to me today, I'm going to be in heaven tonight with every head bowed. So it's not to embarrass anybody. Slip your hand up. Hold it up real high. I know I'm saved. I've trusted Christ as my Lord, my God, and my Savior. Thank you. You can put your hands down. How many would say, preacher, I wish I could raise my hand, but I'm not certain. I don't know for sure that I'm ready for heaven. So would you pray for me in your closing prayer? I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you. I won't point you out. Just hold your hand up real high. Let me pray for you. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died that I'd go to heaven. God bless you and you. Anyone else? Anyone else? God bless you. God loves you. Anybody else? Our Father in heaven, I'm so grateful and thankful that Jesus Christ is the Son of you, the almighty, omnipotent, covenant-loving master of all. I'm so thankful that you sent your only begotten Son to die on the cross that we could have everlasting life by trusting in him. And I pray that today, anyone who's not certain of their relationship with you, that they would ask Christ to come into their life to be their Lord, their God, their Savior right now. With every head bowed, here's how you can do it. You can pray something like this. If it's your desire to have your sins forgiven and to know that Christ is your Savior, then pray something like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm going to stand before you one day when I leave this world. I believe that Jesus is your Son. I believe he died on the cross to pay the price for my sins. And right now, I ask you to be my Lord, my God, and my Savior, because you've said, whosoever shall call upon your name can be saved. So save me, cleanse me from my sins, make the bitter things in my life sweet. I pray in Jesus' name. With every head bowed for another moment, if you just prayed that prayer, just prayed that prayer, meant it with all your heart, raise your hand once again. Raise it up high. God bless you, folks. Several. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you that you're a miracle-working God. We're thankful that you're a God that heals not just physical disease, but spiritual disease as well. We pray for your will to be done in our lives. God, help us to not complain and gripe and murmur and find fault in the little things of life when you've done so much for us. That if you never did another thing for us, Lord, we'd still eternally be in your debt right now. So God bless us and make the bitter sweet in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? Our invitation, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to sing one verse of song. We're not going to sing a long time. So that means if you're in the back, you need to start motoring right now. Come right down to the front and tell me what you're coming for. If you want to come to receive Christ as your Savior, if you want to come and rededicate your heart and your life to the Lord, if you'd like to be a member, if you'd like to be baptized at some point, whatever it is that you would like, you come down here and tell us. If you, ladies, if you need prayer, I've got my wife down here. Rachel's around here in the back, I think. And if you need prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you guys. So come ahead as we sing this verse, just for you, an invitation, opportunity to do something that God would have you to do.
Just
that tree that makes all bitter things sweet. I said one verse, but we're going to sing another because I love this song.
Next to the sound booth, there's some blue bags on a table right there in the corner. And if you prayed that prayer, if you asked the Lord to be your Savior, would you please take one of those bags? And there's a booklet in there, several things, but there's a booklet in there about because I'm saved, what's your next step? What does it mean? And it does a little bit of explaining, a little workbook you can work on. So pick up one of those, and we're so glad that you've been here today. Leadership team, I need to meet with you in my office. We're going to crowd in there for just a few moments right after the service. So as quickly as you can be there, I would appreciate it. And let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Would you bow your heads with me? Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful and thankful for the blessings that you give to us, Lord. You're such a great God. We're amazed at how you make the bitter sweet. And Father, I pray that you would bless this congregation, every member, every person who has a special need today. May they go out today with you relieving that need and meeting that need. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
God bless you. Have a great day.
Amen.